Good morning. Today is Thursday, March the 26th. Joining us this morning is our buddy from the swamp in Arcata, Paul Kraft. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for helping us maintain some normalcy here during this time.
Normalcy is not a word that we embrace around here. You know that.
It's all relative.
How about status quo? We can live with that one.
All right, that works too.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'm going through gumbo withdrawal. I don't know what to do about it, though.
You and me both, but I think I have more time now to concoct some new batches. So.
Yeah, but you know what Mardi Gras means, right?
Fat Tuesday.
All righty, here we go with a brand new, fresh, why do we say that? Or what does it mean? And all that kind of stuff. Palace. Where did we get the word palace?
It has something to do with a combination of the words pal and Alice, so a female friend. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the right direction to take, so I'll let you answer it.
No, okay. From Rome, for the word originally meant a dwelling on the Palatine Hill in Rome. Augustus built his home there, as did Tiberius and Nero. Palace. Yeah,
that one almost. If you know anything about that area, that might have been an easy one to answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. You and spaghetti don't go back that far, so we're okay. Or ravioli.
Yeah.
So what kind of changes has the CHP gone through with the edicts from the state and just the normal stuff coming out of the DHHS and the county health officer?
Yeah, it's been daily changes for us. In the beginning, we tried to maintain as much of our normal operations as possible, and each consecutive day brought about a new change. As of last night, just after 4 p.m., we were directed to shut the main offices down and close the doors down. So we're still maintaining patrol. We're being proactive and keeping everyone safe that's getting from point A to B, handling crashes. We're still enforcing traffic violations. So drive safe wherever you're going because we're still out there. That being said, we're really working hard to maintain the safety of our employees as well as the community and finding the balance between that. For us, that means maintaining traffic safety as well, which forces us into contact with the public. So we would rather not do that, and we can avoid that by people driving where they're going safely. It's a unique time. It takes a unique thought and way of doing business. But ultimately, our mission has remained unchanged, and it's serving the people in the community and the state.
Should we anticipate anything different if we are one of those who tends to massage the boundaries of the speed limit? If we do get pulled over, is it the same protocol that we would have experienced 3 months ago, or are you doing that different also?
Each officer has discretion on what they're going to stop, the violation they observe. So I may see somebody going 5 over, not pull them over, looking for somebody going 10. Another officer might stop somebody for going 5 over, issue a warning, and a third officer might issue a citation. Each individual officer handles the stop differently, but the biggest thing right now I would say is if someone is stopped, if you're sick, to immediately notify the officer of that. That doesn't mean you get a free pass and you're taking off, but at least we can take some advanced precautions to prevent the spread of anything further and to help mitigate any dangers to both parties.
Now, there has been some reports of people, and I don't think it was in your home state, and I don't think it was in California, but one that where there has been some of the shelter or stay at home discussion that the officer came up and claimed that they had just been contaminated. Is there is that an attempt? Is that an offense? Is that an arrestable action? What, you know, basically, I know the response is don't do it, you stupid person. But if that does happen, is there legal ramifications of that?
I would say no. The main concern, well, first you have the violation itself. How serious was the violation? If somebody's coughing at us, towards us, that would be enough for us to detain them and take them in and have them tested there. I mean, there's no authority for that seizure of that person at that point. But the officer themselves would most likely come back and report a possible contamination or an exposure, and then lead themselves into self-quarantine. Would be the likely scenario that would play out there. We have that party's information that we stopped at that point and could direct the health department to make contact with them. So those would probably be the more likely options in the scenario, how that would play out. I think the article you're talking about is East Coast, and there were officers that arrested a female who started coughing on them, saying she was spreading it to them, and they did end up in a quarantine for several days while they tested. And obviously this is something I read online as well, and I don't have personal knowledge, but there would probably be a similar instance here. If we arrested somebody for DUI who claimed to be infected, we'd have no choice to start a quarantine protocol with those involved and get testing started to verify or disprove that.
That all makes sense, yeah. KINS, News and Information Time is 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with CHP PIO PAUL CRAFT.
Gosh, man, good job.
Yeah, I think I got them all right. Paul, a fair amount of what your officers do will involve searching a vehicle, either looking for contraband, suspected contraband, that kind of stuff. In that scenario, with the Corona or whatever we're called, the virus that's around.
The COVID.
Yeah. I'd still call it the Wuhan and told that that's not the accurate or the proper way to reference it, but the Wuhan.
Sure.
Going through someone's vehicle that may or may not have been coughing, I mean, there's a lot of surface there and there's a lot of area, and I would suspect that it's wiping it down before you do it could tend to mess up with some evidence. Are you worried about that kind of stuff now, or is it just a visual inspection before you go to any great length to investigate in that kind of a scenario?
Well, right now, that definitely has to be a concern and some consideration made for that. Part of the factoring into that would be the seriousness of the crime or the type of crime that's happened. If we're just towing a car, say a driver's arrested for DUI and we have to do an inventory on the car, we may do a slightly, maybe we're digging around a little bit less. We haven't received a directive on that, but you know, we go into cars every day and from the time we're at the academy, we train and have ongoing training in our career in regards to exposure to infectious diseases and exposure to hazards on a daily basis, pathogens, blood and other fluids. So we have always had protective measures. We have protective gear and the training on how to use that properly. So now it may be, maybe we're carrying extra with us and we're doing it for every car that we inventory. I, personally, that's probably the course I'd be taking. I still want to make sure I inventory your car properly and account for everything in there so there's no discretions later on. A lot of that just comes about to make sure that everything is there when the person gets their car back and there's no items missing. We inventory everything to account for everything when it goes in. I think we can still safely do that using the gear and training that we have.
That makes sense. Are you seeing reduced traffic volume?
Yes. Yeah. With what I do, I'm not out on patrol, but just coming in and to work and traveling locally the last few days, traffic is down moderately. There's still a good bit out, and I know that people still have to be out doing things, and they're tasks that have to be accomplished, make sure they're falling within the guidelines that the county and the state set forth, and really try to limit your exposure out there. It's everyone's getting across the same message, and we will also is be proactive on limiting our contact, as you and I are, with this phone show instead of in person. Limit it in any way that you can, but you can still be a part of your community in different ways. Trying to teach my kids that as well.
Message semi-received with the kids, right?
Right.
Yeah. So with the traffic that's out there, are you seeing the same ratios, or are people tending to want to get from one point to another point longer, or maybe because if they're in one of those situations where they are, I guess, non-essential, which is not really a positive thought, but in one of those types of positions, that they've got a little bit more time and you're not seeing people push, or you're not seeing the reports with people trying to, they're acting better.
Yeah, I'm seeing lower, just looking at the logs the last few days, I'm seeing a lower volume of crashes, and even the calls that we receive on a daily basis for reckless drivers, because people constantly call those in to our office and to dispatch throughout each day, and we try to respond to those where available, and those are down. And I assume mostly because of the lack of volume out there. It also opens up each car to being more observable by us, which makes them drive more carefully because they're not blending into a crowd. These are all hypotheses on people's thinking and behavior right now, but I think that's playing into it pretty well.
Now, I guess, what is it supposed to be? Is it next Thursday? I think it's next Thursday. No, pardon me. Not Thursday. Next Monday is the projected opening of the In-N-Out hamburger place in Eureka on Broadway. I know you guys have got Broadway as the jurisdiction. Have you heard it? Are they still anticipating that as the opening day? Are there special actions that are going to be taken in association with that?
No, I'll be honest, that's the first time I've heard an opening date, so I haven't been in the loop on that. On a personal level, I would be excited for that. But on the professional side, I hadn't heard that, and we haven't been asked to have any involvement in enforcement of any opening, non-opening traffic. I could picture if it did open, it would be a high traffic area. They are still planning to open and deliver or offer food outside the drive-thru or something.
Right. I was wondering if that's your guys' jurisdiction because it's on Broadway, or if that's EPD's jurisdiction because it's within the city limits.
That would be Eureka. There's been different agreements over the years for us to handle certain collisions on Broadway, 4th, 5th. That typically involves fatals or serious injury that could result in a fatal. We've changed that agreement where Eureka is handling calls within the city limits again.
So and then if they do need someone dedicated to monitor the parking lot at that location, you'd be willing to take that under and accept that duty.
That would be a request they have to make, and the commander would have to make a decision on that.
Yeah, you're way too serious. Oh, it's 8:30. Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with CHP Public Information Officer Paul Kraft. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Paul, with a new stoplight, there have been a couple of them that have been put in along Broadway in the last 6 months or so. The one at we were just referencing for the In-N-Out Burger. I don't even know what the cross street is there. The one at West Hawthorne, where the transfer site is for the Waste Management Authority. Having two lights put into Broadway from 4th Street to the Herrick Overpass, are you sensing that that's going to make traffic flow easier? Certainly slower, but is it better?
I think we've talked about this before, and the three E's that go into traffic, you have education, engineering, and enforcement. I have little to no idea about how the engineering goes. I have had a chance to talk to some of the guys that do the programming on the lights, though, and it's fascinating. The amount of work, the formulas, the equations that go into figuring out the traffic flow for that, it is amazing. It takes a much smarter person than I ever was or will be to figure that stuff out. My first instinct is it seems like it's going to get cluttered in there and back stuff up and make it difficult. But then I think, you know, I've been into plenty of big cities that have lots of lights that close together within that amount of space and things run fine. So I'm going to trust that the guys and gals, the people engineering that and setting that up, have worked that out and will do some fine tuning to it as time goes by to make it run smoothly. I expect that it's going to be a little rough at first and work itself out as everything does.
Yeah, I would think, you know, if the speed limit is followed and it's set to that, probably a little disruption to the norm. But if folks are used to going 4 or 5 miles over, you know, if it's a 40, going 45, I think that's probably where a lot of that frustration comes, or people shooting that one signal to get to the next one. Yeah,
right.
That kind of seems to be the read. Is that kind of followed up with any kind of traffic studies that you're familiar with?
No, not that I'm familiar with, but I see that as being the biggest issue. It's going to be the lack of patience by people that are used to just driving straight through there, and then maybe that builds up into aggravation. And just like we get with any other traffic change around here, it's not the norm. It takes a bit of change. People are used to what's, you know, normal for them. And also not being a part of the traffic in that area in Eureka handling that, they're probably more aware of the situations they've had as far as crashes, complaints of traffic in the area. They're more in tune with that than I would be at this point.
Well, perhaps with the less traffic volume, it'll be a little bit easier, and the majority of the drivers will be able to get into it. And then when we get through this and the volume starts picking up again, okay, the flow has already been established. Now you're just kind of sliding in along with everybody else rather than everyone learning it at the same time.
And, you know, another aspect that comes into play, too, is also alternate routes of travel that people may try to utilize. That could build up traffic on the outskirts of Eureka with people trying to avoid traffic, or what they perceive it may be heavier traffic going through Eureka. Maybe they try taking the backside of town.
Yeah, using F Street.
Driving faster. Yeah, increased traffic on those back roads does cause issues for us as well, because then we're handling those calls out there. We're dealing with the speed complaints, traffic complaints, and parking complaints. So it could cause an increase for our patrol as well and call volume. But we have discussed it and are prepared for it. And in fact, last month I went to a meeting to talk about the area of F and Oak Street and some of the crashes we've had recently, and had a chance to listen to some of the community members' issues with that area, the traffic there. And it has been addressed. County roads and supervisors are all in the loop on that as well and working to mitigate any higher traffic volume and issues that come out of that.
Now, was that volume-based, or was that engineering with that goofy crosswalk by Grant Elementary?
I think there was a combination of factors there. Yeah, part of it was, and they're going to be making changes to some aspects of the crosswalk and also to parking in the area. There's a higher volume of traffic that comes through there than there has been traditionally in past years. It's just steadily increased. So those things have to be taken into account, but it also takes time and it doesn't happen overnight. But from what I heard in the meetings, it is being addressed and looked into and working to make it better and safer, ultimately safer, especially with the school there and kids crossing the street. The community is the most important part of that and keeping them safe. So
we'll have to
find a solution. We don't know what it is yet, but we're working on several things. I say we, the county roads and the district supervisors are working together to come up with a solution. And
well, it's not like Rex and Tom don't have anything to do, you know, so this will keep them out of trouble for a little bit, right?
Yeah, right. I can say, though, honestly, after that meeting, it's a high priority for them, as it should be. I've been worked in this area, taken crashes at that intersection. I know that it's very important for them to find a resolution and a safe one at that, for that area and others. And it's not the only one with that issue in Humboldt County.
No, but F Street is kind of like tarmac at the airport, you know, straight, and it is a straight run. So I'm sure that there are some folks that go 45 or 50, even though it's posted significantly lower than that.
It seemed to have become a main thoroughfare as an alternate, yes.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft. Paul, the weather forecast this weekend is calling for the snow level to come down significantly, not down to the water level, and we probably won't see it on Neyland or Fickle Hill or some of those areas. But nonetheless, you know, it gets down around 2,000 feet, we start to see a little bit of dusting on some of the tops and potential chain and hail and ice and all that kind of stuff. It's a little bit later in the season than what we typically experience it, but what, just kind of as a quick refresher, what are the rules that you guys throw out, rules of the road or advisories for folks if they are going to be traveling either over 299, along 101 through those areas, or on 36?
Right. It's a kind of like a been the deceptive start to this spring or going into spring that we don't know that we're prepared for the weather coming, but making sure that you're carrying the right equipment that you're going to need. If you get stranded out there without supplies, that's where you have issues. So if you're going to go out, make sure that you're packing some warm blankets, water, some snacks. Chains are going to be required if it starts snowing heavy enough on the roads. Caltrans will be cleaning the highways as quickly as they can. So hopefully that's not too much of an issue. But ultimately, being prepared, having new wipers on your car with the rain that we've had now, letting someone know where you're going. Those are all things that we talk about, and then we start to get complacent as we move along through the year, thinking the weather's great. But based on what we've seen and heard, this storm could cause some more travel issues. And on top of that, everybody is off work and out of school, and we could see crowds maybe that go out to gather and play in the snow. Now we have to start thinking about our 6 foot of space and social isolation and keep those things in mind. If you end up with a crowd showing up around you, create some distance. It's not bring stuff back out of the hills, too.
Yeah, probably not with snowball fights, huh?
No. If you're really mean and you spit a loogie on your snowball, they're trying to get the other person to quit.
Was that surprising? I guess it was Marin County where they, last weekend, where they were telling everybody to go out and march on the trails. Well, everybody decided to go out and march on the trails. The problem is that they don't have too many trails in Marin County, and they had a big old crowd at the parking lot.
I was surprised by a lot of the photos I saw of social distancing out in the wild, and it was more crowded than if they were in the store.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So,
we live in a huge, wide-open county where there are plenty of spaces you can get to be away from other people. I think we can manage to spread ourselves out a little bit.
And then same for the beaches also. You know, if you're going to be out there, you know, if it's clear and cold, then you know, perhaps we don't have to worry about the snow stuff. But still, just kind of pay attention and stay away from the crowds, and I guess stay away from crowds at the airport is another thing, huh?
Shut the airport down.
Good thing Cody's not around, huh? He'd respond to you on that one.
I know.
Just tough times all the way around, and it's kind of neat that you're seeing a little bit more moderation out on the roads and a little bit less activity on the roads also. That indicates that we're paying attention a little bit more.
And not only that, it's reducing the risk to us and the community, because even if our officer doesn't get sick, if they come into contact with someone carrying it and then turns around and spreads it back to someone at their home that may be elderly or ill, or as I have, someone at home that is a heavy asthmatic and has had pneumonia in the past, those are my fears. They're not me getting sick. It's spreading it to someone that's more at risk.
And probably should be for everybody. Thanks for coming by, bud, sort of. Nice talking
to you.
All right. See everybody tomorrow.